love the way that Matthew begins his story that we heard Barry read in such a matter-of-fact way. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. Quickly, the gospel writer begins to describe the presence and the experience of the miraculous in the life of this young couple. Now, notice that I didn't say Matthew describes the miracle. Rather, Matthew tells the story of the presence and the experience of the miraculous with Mary and Joseph, and finally with the whole world. It's an entirely different emphasis. We're not linking our minds to an idea or an event that can be simply described. We are linking our very souls, our very spirits, to an experience so special that it is heralded by angels. And we link to it in a very special way, because we experience the miraculous presence of God in the birth of every child. I remember the doctor who attended Sarah's birth. He made the comment as he held up that wrinkled little bundle to me. He said, "I will never understand the miracle of birth." And so it is with most of us. A newborn child is one of the most powerful symbols of hope and of life. Birth is a miracle. It's a sign that life goes on. Every child is a sign of hope and potential in our world. The birth also provides contrasts. On the other side of the coin, a newborn child can also be a very powerful symbol of total dependence. We can all bring to mind pictures and posters we've seen of impoverished children from impoverished neighborhoods. They don't have to be from third world countries. They can be right here in our own backyard. And so we have these contrasts of hope and helplessness. Jesus is presented to us as a child of hope and newness of life. But the other thing that I noticed so particularly about this story is Joseph's role. I think Joseph has a lot to teach us about the experience of the miraculous. His reaction to Mary's situation certainly produced some out-of-the-ordinary results. There must have been some things that were not easy for Joseph to accept. The pregnancy created a real sticky situation for Joseph and for Mary. You see, they were betrothed, and Mary had been promised to Joseph. A betrothal was like an engagement, but there were some differences. Their engagement was just as binding as the marriage itself. But suddenly, Mary's pregnant. Now, we may try to soften it by saying she was with child, but the fact is she was pregnant. And in a few months, she would be out there. She would be showing. It would be hard to hide under her clothing. Therefore, in accordance with the customs of that time, Joseph had every right to divorce her without any social stigma surrounding him at all. Now, it's interesting to note of all the scripture about the birth that in Matthew's version of Jesus' birth, the central character is not Mary, it's Joseph. And I identify with that, because Joseph is remarkably like us. Initially, he's confused, and then trusting. And finally, he becomes more understanding. We go through the same development with regard to the Christmas story, when we're honest enough to admit it. We find ourselves retracing Joseph's moments. Again, there is the experience of the miraculous here. Matthew tells us that her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. The miracle here is that in the midst of Joseph's confusion, God touched his life in a way that gave him new insight. It gave him a different resolve and a determination to act in a way that would not be popular with those around him. Just when Joseph had decided to dismiss Mary quietly, an angel visited him in a dream. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now here God provided an opportunity to have the confusion swept away. On the word of a special messenger in a dream, Joseph made a new decision. And he took Mary to be his wife. Another part of the miracle was that Joseph opened himself to taking that chance. After all, a dream is a dream. We all have them all the time. I wonder how often do we pay attention to them? How many of your dreams do you remember? How many recur and scare us? Joseph took a risk here. He took a risk that the dream was a message from God, not just his imagination. I mean, after all, he would still have to face the people. And what were the people going to say? He would still have to hear others' whispers. What if Mary had been unfaithful? If the dream were just a dream, then who was the real father? Just imagine these thoughts going through his mind. But through it all, Joseph took a risk, and as a result, he helped to bring salvation to the world. I wonder sometimes how many of us would take such a chance. I see so many things happening in this nativity story that are out of the ordinary, that it's only the word miraculous that seems to fit. For example, think of the tremendous amount of trust that Joseph must have had. This angel that appeared to him gave no proof that what was being said was the truth. The most compelling evidence the angel had was simply that the well-known promise that God someday was going to send a Savior. But who would ever believe that God would do this through a young maiden by the name of Mary? I mean, we say to ourselves, doesn't God deal in the big stuff? Earthquakes, hurricanes, wind, fire? Now that would get everybody's attention. But a baby? God coming in human form? It was too far out. But Joseph trusted. Joseph trusted the angel's words and he took a chance. Joseph stayed with Mary in spite of the lack of DNA evidence that her child was of the Holy Spirit. What Joseph lacked in proof, he made up for in faith. As he trusted and he took a chance on the promise and the hope that this child offered. Mary and Joseph then named their child Jesus, as he was told in the dream. And the very name Jesus signals the entrance of God into human experience. The angel has said you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now here Matthew continues the narrative by saying that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. What an outstanding thought. The very God of all things visible and invisible in our midst. The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is among us. Our God comes to an insignificant little village named Bethlehem. And he's born in a common stable to a young couple. A young couple that experienced the miraculous in their lives. The humble husband shows a sense of confusion. And that turns into an extraordinary love and trust. Once again in the story, God enters into human experience. We have lots of activities and gatherings coming up in the next 48 hours. And I pray that somehow, some way, this be our experience too, that we can grasp a bit of the miraculous in the midst of our lives. We too find ourselves confused. We don't know how to react to the events of our time. We don't know how to understand our dreams. Just as this young couple experiences the miraculous in their lives, we can too. Just as that young husband in Bethlehem turns his confusion into an extraordinary love and trust, so too can we. God enters into human experience. God did this at the Nativity. God does that in our time as well. It's Christmas, and the entire world awaits the coming of the Lord. I pray that to this week, that you too will experience the miraculous in your Christmas. Amen. We come now to that time of our worship for personal and silent prayers. And I would ask that you remember a number of our church family in your thoughts and in your prayers. Elaine Hokanson and Mac McDermott, I'm both pleased to say that since this printing have gone home and are recovering now at home. Sally Wells is recovering at home. We also ask that you surround with your thoughts and your prayers, especially at this Christmas time of the year, Mark Carollo and his family as they mourn the passing of his father, Aldo. Please continue to pray for Edna Milne, Karen Seberg as she battles her cancer, and Chris Wills and his family as they mourn the passing of his mother, Betty. These and the unspoken loved ones of your hearts and your minds, let us now remember in silent prayer.